It's great to see you guys this morning. I really appreciate the opportunity to come talk to you. You brothers and the Friday morning men's fellowship has been important to me. You've been a steadying influence in me, for me in the last year. So I appreciate the opportunity to give you my story. Career-wise, I was a labor attorney for 40 years, representing management. Worked for a law firm, led the labor relations department of a couple of major corporations. My last assignment was kind of a fun assignment. I was the labor relations director and chief negotiator for Harley-Davidson Motor Company. Yeah. So I had about six motorcycles, still have one. Now, I could tell you a lot of stories, obviously, about Harley history, which would be very interesting, or the bikes, the history of the bikes, which is very interesting, how they got developed, or my big battles with labor unions, which some were in the news. And I could tell you about some epic motorcycle rides. But, you know, in a generation, my two big passions, labor law and motorcycles, could go the way of the buffalo. They could be almost extinct. You know, great, interesting stories to tell, always be interesting stories to tell, but not all that relevant to most people's lives. And so what I want to do today is tell you a story that I think will be relevant to your life, especially those of you men that are undergoing a rough patch right now. I think it starts with, for 65 years of my life, I guess I would be classified as a Sunday Christian. I would give God a couple hours once a week, but the rest of the week, I pretty much felt I could handle myself. And that worked pretty well for 65 years. I heard a lot of sermons and sang a lot of songs and prayed when I needed something and once in a while would give thanks to God when something good came my way. But I was busy. You know, I had a family to raise. I had a job to do. I had results to deliver. And most of all, I had to earn money and other stuff, acquire that so I could build this big protective castle for myself and my family when I retired or if the wolf ever came to the door. I was building a protective wall for the future. I think probably all of you remember that big snowstorm that we had in January of 2014 that paralyzed the city. Probably a lot of you got trapped for hours out on some highway somewhere. Well, my big recollection of that snowstorm was my wife Donna came in from shoveling some snow and thought she had pulled a muscle in her abdomen. Well, about 3 weeks later, you know, she went to her doctor. He didn't think it was anything. After about 3 weeks with that second big snowstorm barreling down on us, and the one we had in February, and they're not getting any better, we just decided we'd take a run over to Kennestone Hospital and get it checked out before the city got paralyzed again. So we went into the emergency room. A couple hours later, a few tests later, it really wasn't long at all, doctor came back, and I could tell by his face. He didn't even have to say anything. I could tell the news was bad. It was cancer, and it was bad. 16 days later, my wife passed away. She'd been my wife for 45 years. We had married as teenagers. She was the love of my life, my partner forever. And the blow was so sudden and so enormous that it felt like I was losing air. I felt like I couldn't breathe. Felt like I fell down a mine shaft, all alone, in the dark, sucking for oxygen. You know, the doctors tried to comfort me. They didn't have any answers. My friends tried to be helpful. They had no answers. Certainly, I had no answers. And the only thing I could think of at that time was to revert to my childhood and cry out to Jesus for help. And I know a lot of you guys are struggling with similar things. So whether it's death, or whether it's illness, or whether it's a divorce, or whether it's job problems, or business problems, or a child in trouble, or addiction, you name it. A lot of us are struggling for stuff. And I'm here to tell you that you can get help from God. And the first scripture I want to pass on to you is Jeremiah 29, verses 13 to 14. And the essence of it is when you search for me, you'll find me. If you seek me with all your heart, I will let you find me. Well, in those 16 days in the hospital, God let me find him. And the way he did it very specifically. I mean, I can report how it happened. The first thing he did is he let me get re-control of my mind. When you're in a crisis, the first thing that goes is your mind. It's full of panic. It's full of terror. It's full of fear. And you have to do anything. You have to get control of your mind. And so what I did is I repeated over and over again the Jesus prayer. Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I said it over and over and over again. And what it seems to do, it seems to have a magical property of letting you restore your mind, blocking other things out, and giving you your mind back. So that was the first thing. The second thing is he let me take the whole world, all my fears of a future I couldn't figure out, and narrow it down to just the next half hour. And I got that by saying the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. I just needed the sustenance to get, God, just give me the sustenance to get me through this next hour. You know, I'll worry about after that later. Each hour was just almost incredibly terrible or difficult to get through. So you can deal with smaller blocks of time, and the Lord let me pull time down to a little block that I could deal with. And obviously the last thing was in the Lord's Prayer, thy will be done. By giving the whole future over to God, it let me be quiet enough to hear his instructions to take the next step. And that's how I think God shows his light. He shows his light one footstep at a time. He didn't show me how this was all going to work out. He just kind of let me feel what was the next thing I had to do that minute. And those three things got me through those terrible 16 weeks. Now what it did, it let me say my final goodbye to my wife. It let me walk those last hours with her home to her final resting place. I tell you, you can talk about your athletic accomplishments, or your business accomplishments, or in my case, some big court cases I had. None of that makes you the man you should be more than standing tall in a crisis. With the world falling apart around you, and you have jelly legs and mush for a brain, and God gives you the strength and the inspiration to do your duty, to do your obligation. I think men show themselves best in crisis. And God stood with me those 2 weeks. Now, sure. I probably prayed to God 1,000 times, Jesus 1,000 times, to spare my wife, to come up with some kind of miracle cure. Well, that didn't happen. And I don't have, obviously, as a human being, I don't have any answers about why some suffer and some are spared. You know, I have no answers for those of you out there that are suffering right now. I think we all have to go to Job. Job was a righteous man. Job suffered deeply. Job was never told the reason why he suffered. But Job stayed steadfast in his love for the Lord. He recognized that the Lord was so great and so beyond our comprehension that we couldn't understand his ways. And so, but what the Bible tells us is that Job did see the face of the Lord. With the death of my wife and getting through those 2 weeks, now I got a life to live. Now I've got, I've got to pick up my life with my partner of 45 years gone and rebuild a life. And of course, all that thought about I control Monday through Friday or Monday through Saturday on my own, all that thought about I could build this big castle to protect the wolf from ever getting at me or my family disappeared, evaporated. I realized I had no control over anything. but I have to get through the rest of my life. And there's the second scripture I want to share with you is Psalm 34, verses 18 through 19. The Lord is near the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord rescues them from them all. You know, with the death of my wife, I'm brokenhearted. You know, I'm crushed in spirit. And every day I have to fight, you know, those bad thoughts that come into my mind and the evil forces that are out there trying to bring me down. So the answer I found is to try to keep the Lord near. And I've come up with five daily disciplines that I try to practice to keep the Lord near me and to keep evil away. The first one I learned from you guys, because I wasn't one before, it's reading the Word of God on a daily basis. And I wasn't one of those people. I didn't come from a religious tradition where that was a big thing. And I've learned that from you guys, and I thank you. You know, you all know that do it. The instruction and the inspiration that you get early in the morning and late at night from the Bible keeps God near. The Word of God keeps God near to you. The second thing I learned is thank God. You know, when I went through a lot of grief programs, it was amazing how many people were mad at God. I'm never going to go to church again. Why did God do this to me? Well, I don't know why God did this to me, but I would do one thing. By daily counting all my blessings, thanking the Lord for everything good during that day, sure, makes me feel a hell of a lot better. You know, cataloging all the good things in your life just is psychologically better for you than obsessing about all the things you don't have and all the bad stuff. So that little practice gives me some energy and some positive vibes that day. The third thing is I try, and this is a hard one for me, being a labor lawyer, I try to see the face of God in others. I guess it's good I'm retired because my union adversaries, I would have had a hard time seeing the face of God in some of those guys. But, you know, I bet you it was there. I bet you I should have looked at it. Probably would have made my life easier. But giving love and receiving love is a lot better for you than retreating back in your angry and confused mind and trying to figure things out. You feel better helping other people. So that's the third thing. The fourth thing, the daily discipline that I've adopted, is to try to see the beauty and awe of all God's creation every day. You know, the smell of flowers, you know, they talk about smell the roses. Well, I am smelling the roses. They talk about, you know, watching the butterflies, the majesty of the mountains. That's a heck of a antidote to the stuff you hear off of CNN and cable news and the trash you see a lot of times on the internet. It's just uplifting to see the beauty of what God has created. And the last thing I try to do is I try to talk to God every day. And all I try to ask him is, what specific things can I do today? I'm not asking him for how all this works out. I'm not asking him for tomorrow or the future. I'm just asking him, help me figure out what I need to do today. What specific things I can do today? And bringing your life down to especially when you're struggling, to a manageable day is really helpful, because you don't have to have a feeling that the future is going to be figured out. You trust God to figure out the future. You just want to get through the day. So I want to end with one thing, a quote that I heavily paraphrased, so I don't even qualify as a quote anymore, but I did steal it from somebody else, and it often takes a dark sky to see the starlight. It often takes a dark patch in your life to see God's light. God bless y'all.